You know, there's a real, there's a huge battle going on in American music right now that the results, I don't think the public started it so much as got in on it, as under the banner accessibility.
Yes.
A lot of pressure on composers to make,
yes,
make their music more accessible. And there's also an argument that...
I think this battle was already fought in America, I mean, a long time ago, in the 30s, in the Depression era.
Well, yeah.
You know, what was very strange for me, that's to see, for instance, that was the centenary of Ives in 1974.
Right.
And I did a series of concerts in New York, what I call the mini-series, it's a mini-festival, around Ives, you know, with European at the same time, an American who followed him immediately.
Right.
And then you can see until 29-30, a very big school of avant-garde people whose name now don't mean very much, as I mean, like Ruud Crawford, for instance.
Mm.
I don't remember all the names now. There was a Frenchman also, I performed piano pieces of his. He's now in Los Angeles, very old. And there was, if I would say the name, you would recognize
him. Oh, Rudyard?
Rudyard, yes.
Oh, he died. He died a year ago, September.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I had an exchange of letters with him.
Yeah.
He was very surprised.
Probably,
I programmed this piece for the piano.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting to see, you know, how in New York, until the 30s,
mm-hmm,
there was a very strong avant-garde movement.
Right.
And then in the 30s, well, that became, it ended with rodeo.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And with the Rockefeller murals.
Yeah.
And that was a parallel to me, very striking, between Russia and America, because the development was not exactly politically the same, but exactly the same type of avant-garde, which finished art for the folk, so for the people, and with the same results, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have hundreds of American symphonies.
Yes.
Folks of Roy Harris, Eric Copland.
Yes.
A friend of Roy Harris told me that he had, at the end of his life, he was considering going to live in Russia because his music was so much better understood and appreciated.
But that's striking, the parallelism, you know.
Huh.
And the same dates, 29-30.
Yeah.
That was the turning point in Russia.
Huh.
And would I have been in New York more, I would have made these two periods parallel, you know, concert parallel.
Oh, yeah.
Because the realist socialist,
yeah,
was exactly at the time of the Depression here, when also people wanted to, you know, to cheer up the crowds.
And France hasn't had any kind of similar...
Yes, we had. We had. In 1936, you know, they were the Popular Front, what they called, you know, the socialists came to power with the help of the communists in 1936. And there was also a tendency for, you know, the art to be accessible to everybody, and finally, does not give any results, finally, because...
Yeah.
These works are so dated now that you cannot perform them. So
right.
I mean, they are really period pieces.
Yeah. But there's no similar pressure in France now.
No, not at all. No. Well, you know, always one says contemporary music has to live with subsidies of the government, and without subsidies, the contemporary music will not survive. I told, can the opera playing Verdi could survive with the government subsidies?
Yeah.
Certainly not. And the government spend much more to play Verdi and Wagner than they spent to perform Stockhausen and Imperio. So I am not ashamed at all to have subsidies from the government, because they gave much more to conventional things.